All right, today what I'm going to do is give a very brief update. One of the things that is very clear when you've got a lot of these projects going on is that some of the things in terms of dates and timetables can be a little bit of a moving target. The bad news is many of our dates for some of the work have been pushed back. The good news is we think, right, Jason, that those dates have become far more secure, right? So by pushing them back, we have kind of secured them. So a couple things to update. Number one, something we did not think would happen, but the Oregon company, Shantz Oregon, reached out to us this past week and said, hey, what do you think about actually having the Oregon installed in November instead of October, right? Because that would actually help us. And I don't know, Jerry's a pretty tough negotiator, so he might have said, well, I don't know, but that's going to cost you. When actually, inside we were like, yes! Like that buying us an extra month is actually super helpful. So what that means is the Oregon is now scheduled to be installed, and we think this is pretty secure, in November. The other thing is, so here we have the Oregon installation. The other big development is we were able to like locate the Italian tiles. Ooh, right? And how's this for exciting? They're not in Italy anymore. Ooh, right? So any Italian jokes have to cease and desist, right? They're like sitting in a port. In, like, this is like international intrigue, like in Casablanca or like North Africa. They're in like Morocco. So they're sitting in a port. They're in boxes. They just need to participate in the global shipping process, which takes like 3 days. But here's what they've said. They've said they're pretty confident that those tiles will be here in August. What we already have scheduled here at Westminster is we have two weddings in the first couple weeks of September. And I don't know, the Knippenbergs might appreciate not having the long-awaited wedding of their daughter in the fellowship hall. Yes, yes, Lee is giving a hearty nod. So So what's going to happen is those tiles will arrive, and they're the kind of catalyst for all the other sanctuary projects taking place. And we're going to hold those tiles, even if when they arrive in August, and even if that gets delayed, through those September weddings, so that the timetable now for all of the sanctuary renovations, the pews coming out, the floor, being put in, the everything being painted, all the work being done in the sanctuary is now going to take place in late September and early October. And the window will be removed in late October. So all of that will take place before the Oregon is installed in November. So even though that's pushed back, I mean, in an ideal world, the most opportune time to have a disrupted sanctuary is July, right? Because that's kind of the lowest activity month of the church calendar. October is like full crank fall life as the church, but it is what it is, right? So what that means is we will have two, maybe three Sundays in late September and early October, where we will be worshiping in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall, because the sanctuary will be out of commission. And we'll give you plenty of lead time on that and kind of talk about how that is going to progress and go forward. So that's kind of a big development. Lord willing, there won't be any other new big developments that shift that calendar. So by the bad news again is it pushes back into the heart of the fall. The good news is we think that timetable and that schedule is a lot more secure. But as you know, there's nothing certain in life, right? Except death and taxes. There's more secure than that, right? Like Christ's love, his return, right? All that. So let's just keep praying about all those details. Still a lot of details that we think are coming together, but still details that we need to pray these projects through to the finish line, as I've been telling folks. So with that in mind, I'm going to open things up. People, in the past, people have often like submitted questions, and I've dealt with those first, but nobody really submitted questions that need to be dealt with in this public forum. So I'm just going to open it up. And this could be, we could have a lot of questions. We could have no questions, in which case I've prepared, a few like Latin soliloquies and little tap dance routines just to keep you entertained. But does anybody have any questions? Questions about any of the things that we have discussed over the previous couple of weeks and even other things related? Yes, Deborah.
Will there be any choir singing
when we have a fellowship? I think that is unlikely. And in fact, yes. Will there be any choir singing when we worship in the fellowship hall? The answer is most certainly no, simply because we just will not have the spatial arrangements to accommodate having the full choir up here. So we'll have a three weeks where we will not have the choir, 2 or 3 weeks. But here's the great thing, right? I anticipate our congregational singing to be kind of booming in this space, right? So you put 200 people in here and you belt out. I'm going to pick the most classic belty hymns so that we can just like knock the acoustic tile off this place. So there will be, some things to look forward to. What we will lack in aesthetic beauty by worshiping in here, we will gain in close proximity and fellowship and more than enough sound to fill the space. All right, Andy. Okay, so that's a good question, right? That's a good question. We've been having about give or take 400 people coming to worship, right? This space can accommodate 200 or so people, right? So what we will probably make an appeal to folks when we get closer to the date is to say, if you are able, if you are normally an 11 o'clock worship person, and you're able to come to the early service, we encourage you to do so, right? Because what will be really important in this is being able to balance the services a little more. So right now, often we're closer to 300 in one and closer to 100 in the other, and that's helpful. But to really make this work for a couple weeks, we probably need to be more in the 200 kind of range. Yeah. So, but that's an appeal that it'll be tight, right? We have not attempted this with our congregation at this point, right? But definitely what will be a key is we can't have 70 people attending the morning service, the early service, and 325 people attending the 11, right? That won't work. So we're going to have to shift it a little bit. Yes, Joy. Yes. What will happen is fire codes will kick in and you won't be able to come into the fellowship hall maybe we'll be able to have overflow room. We haven't really worked this out, but have overflow rooms where you can watch on YouTube in a subsequent large classroom. So what happens if so, let's put it this way, Joy, let's put it more positive. What if so many people heed the admonition that we have 400 people at 8:45, right? Then we would have a similar kind of dynamic. So I'm sure we'll try to have some kind of backup plan, safety net. I doubt we're, just because I don't want to have COVID flashbacks, that we will have signups. So we'll try to take that into account. Other questions? Oh, yes. Miss Lily. So the plan for Sunday school when we get to those weeks, right, is to continue on with a normal but modified Sunday school plan, right? So what that means is we will still have access to all of our children's Sunday school space and all of our elective classes that take place in down the hallways. I love families coming to Sunday school and really don't want to get people out of the habit for a couple of weeks. So let's keep doing it. The one thing that we will have to modify though is that normally this space is set up for two Sunday school classes. There's a divider pulled. We will have, Ryan Bailey, will be teaching a class on this side of the fellowship hall. Carlton will be teaching another class on the other side of the fellowship hall. So for those weeks, what we will have to do is only have one Sunday school class in the fellowship hall using the exact same setup that we have for worship. So one of those two Sunday school classes will take a little bit of a 2 or 3 week hiatus while the other one kind of fills the space. But all the other Sunday school classes will proceed as normal. Is that clear? Yep. Great. Yes, Deborah. Okay.
So, did you mention anything about the contribution to this project?
I don't have updated numbers just because we don't tend to crunch our numbers weekly. We tend to kind of get monthly reports. So, I don't know if Eleanor has anything of consequence that she wants to add but we don't tend to run formal. So what I would say is in general, we still need to raise around $200,000 in order to fund these projects without dipping into the line of credit. Now, here's the good news about the projects being pushed back is the payments also get pushed back. So that gives us more time to raise that money before we would have to dip into. If all the projects were hitting in July, we'd be making payments right now and probably dipping into the line of credit a little bit. But the fact that all those things won't actually hit till October actually gives us some more time for all of us to prayerfully consider gifts that we might make and, Lord willing, for money to come in before the money has to go out. It would be tremendous if we could do all of these projects without touching that line of credit. Right? We're ready and we're prepared if we need it for a brief season. But it would be great to not have to do that. So again, I just will ask you to prayerfully consider making a special contribution, not a contribution that is at the expense of normal operating giving, right? It doesn't do us any good to see a big bump in our capital and organ funds, but then to not be able to pay our bills because no one gave to the regular general fund, right? So if all you're able to do is to make a gift to the general fund, that's the gift you make, right? If you're able to give a special gift above and beyond that of any amount, right, then we would prayerfully ask you to prayerfully consider doing that, particularly in this time season, kind of through the rest of the summer before these projects really begin to hit. Okay? Good question. Good question, Deborah. Other questions? Yes, Ms. Roos.
When we're starting to prepare
for painting and stuff and sectoring, mm-hmm.
is it just going to like get ready for
painting
for a couple of months, or is it already
to the point? I'm going to defer that to Jason. Is there more prep work that needs to take place in terms of paint prep, plaster prep? Or has that by and large been done and now we're waiting for the big paint job?
Yeah, I think
are we just stopping until the fall?
I believe every opportunity we have to continue to do work that doesn't actually disrupt our time in the sanctuary, we will continue to do. For instance, originally we were planning to do the sanctuary work in July. And then we were anticipating that all the windows would be replaced in August. Okay. So the windows are still on time and schedule. But the the replacing of the side windows will not disrupt our time in the sanctuary. That's work that will be done Monday through Friday. So what will happen is you'll come in one Sunday in late August and you'll look and go, oh, two of the big windows are different, right? And then you'll come back the next week and you'll say, oh, okay, they got better at it and they did three or four this week, right? And over the course of a couple weeks in August and September, that work will be done. But it won't have any impact on our use of the sanctuary. So as you can see, we've been doing prep work, right? So you come in and you say, oh, stuff got peeled off the walls. Or, oh, there used to be a crack there. Now there's a big plaster work. So we're working and doing everything we can to set up these projects. We're just trying to save the big work so that our ability to be in the sanctuary is our ability not to be in the sanctuary is compressed into as definite a time period as possible. Good question. Jason, are you okay with that answer? Yeah, very good. Other questions? Yes, Ms. Knippenberg.
Do we have any kind of artist rendering of what the sanctuary will look like when it's all finished? Because
We do not have that. We had one, but then we modified a bunch of things and we don't have a new one, if that makes sense.
Is there a way I can get one?
No, because we don't have one. So it's not that I have one, but I can't show it to you because it's top secret. We actually don't have a like current computer rendering of the state of things.
We have a computer rendering. The colors are the only thing that are not right. So I can show you. I can show you structurally what things look like, but the colors are not right.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
inviting a lot of guests into this church.
Yes.
I'd love to have something in the narthex that says, "Pardon our progress. This is what we're working toward."
Yeah.
It's going to be so awesome.
Eventually. But today, the bride is going to walk down the aisle on red carpet.
No, she's not.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. So that you can talk with Jason. Talk with Jason. Yep. Other questions? We can keep them coming. Yes, sir.
I'll give you a softball.
Okay. I don't feel like I'm getting jammed with the hard fastball as it stands, but... Yes.
I heard that might be in shape for occupancy sooner rather than later.
Yep. Jason, that's correct.
Yeah, we start work on the balcony actually next week. We will begin replacing carpet and putting in our new railing, etc. The only thing that will not be ready for the balcony for probably 2 to 3 months is going to be the ceiling. What we will do until we have Sunday school is we will start to use the gray upholstered chairs during the new Sunday school.
So there will just be some aesthetic flexibility because we'll put some chairs up there, which will restore balcony seating, and it won't look like a construction zone up there. But then those chairs will come out, which they can easily do. It just takes manpower, and the new chairs will be put in, chairs that will have a fabric on them that will match the fabric that goes on the pews and the choir chairs. So there'll be a unified fabric from balcony to choir loft. Great. Good question. Anyone? Is that, yeah, here we go, Bill Chandler. That was like a... Jerry, do you want to tee that up? The question is, how long does it take to actually install the organ?
I would say a month and maybe 3 weeks. And then you've got another week of voicing the organ, which is probably the most important part of the process.
Yep. So yeah, if we can get start, the goal is, and the prayer, installation that begins in early November, and the organ is fully kind of ready to go for the heart of the Christmas season. Okay, so you can pray to that end, because I think that would be really special, that if the new organ was essentially ready to go as we hit December. I think that would be great, beautiful, exciting on a whole host of levels. Yeah, good question, though. Good question. Other questions? Yes, way in the back, Ms. Bailey. I can't give you a hard number on that. We're beginning the process. It's some of that will be how clearly we settle on various kinds of instructions. So there's, but it'll be a multi-month process. No, because I think what they will do is they'll seal that space, and it will be what will cover that space for a time is just, it will just look like a solid background. So it won't be someone came up and said, will it be like a giant piece of plywood, like something I found in my garage? No, it will be, the space will be covered in such a way that it will, you'll just look and see a big open, full, consistent space. Yeah, no. There could be, right? We could do that and then kind of lower people's aesthetic expectations only to raise them, right? I said once that when I was in college, I walked around the campus of Wheaton College. And by and large, women did not find me attractive, right? And then I shaved my head, and women really did not find me attractive. And then my hair grew back, and a couple girls, including one Nancy Jo Messner, said, he's not bad. Right? So we could employ that strategy, but we're not going to go all in on plywood from the garage. We're going to try to make the space as appealing as possible as we wait for what I think will be a spectacular window. Other questions? Yes. Yes, Ruth Ann. Yes, so the plan will be that the window will have lighting that would be able to be lit during the evening service and at various kind of evening occasions. Yep. Very good. Other questions?
How about the sound system? We will retain the sound system?
So we have kind of worked with an acoustician to kind of try to have our acoustics be, as good as they can be, given the fact that we're making some changes. So it may be that after everything goes in, we have to actually make some adjustments. That's a possibility, but we are prepared to do that. So we do not have as part of our plan like a massive overhaul of the sound system, but we will see kind of what the acoustician's recommendations of recommending kind of a hard surface floor, recommending some surface kind of acoustic panels on the back wall of the sanctuary, what that does, and then being able to tweak speakers and make some changes as we need. Yep, it's a good question. Good question. Someone else can step up because Deborah's going to win the award for most inquisitive. Yes, Ms. Burgess.
So, what is the color scheme
of the whole church? Yeah. So we're going with chartreuse and pink. No. To be honest, I'm not even sure what chartreuse is. So the floor is a limestone tile that is a natural occurring tile, so it's not a fabricated porcelain. It's a real pieces of limestone. It has a grayish kind of coloration to it with kind of natural stone design worked through, so it's very beautiful. The fabric is kind of a, it's very neutral. It's kind of a grayish beige that really will kind of, as opposed to kind of the very eye-popping kind of maroonish. So there's that. And then the walls and the ceiling will essentially be kind of white with variation in the trim. So you will not see a radical kind of color scheme in terms of coming in and being like, whoa, we painted the walls, you know, blue or red or something like that. So, I mean, the classic Presbyterian Reformed architecture has long kind of upheld kind of simplicity. And so we're going to be going with that. The window, we still have a lot of work to do on that, but what we've talked about is a window that highlights the color scheme of, in essence, the Old Testament tabernacle color schemes. If you go to Exodus, you'll find, I don't know, 20 different references to the color scheme of the tabernacle, which talks about red, blue, and purple with elements of gold in it. So I think that, and if you actually look at historic stained glass throughout the world, I think because of that tabernacle connection, you'll see that kind of the classic, if you go to Notre Dame or Saint Chapelle, right, you'll see kind of reds, blues, and purples being very prominent as kind of the base of the color palette. So that's the plan. What the window will look like, the design is in process, but kind of an intricate window of kind of sacred geometry, no particular images, but kind of color and shape in a kind of symmetrical, very classic rose window design. Yes, Deborah. No, it's great, right?
My last question.
Yeah.
Are we talking about window? Are we going to take care of the insulation?
Yes. Yes. So the good news, again, if you guys walk down the hall and you look in the glass window, when you see the wind, there's a little cut of a corner of the windows that are going to be installed, right, on the sides. And I think what you will be impressed when you look at that little cut out of the window that's sitting, I mean, it's far more substantial than what we have. It's double paned. So, you know, part of the window approach, both in terms of the side windows, is to create, is to have our sanctuary be far more consistent in heat, in terms of heat, cold, and humidity, right? So our windows will accomplish that in a far more significant way, right? So I think the ability to control the heat, the cold, and the humidity in our sanctuary will be greatly aided by the new windows. Yes, yes. So all of that is being taken into account. I mean, part of the reason that we're doing, I mean, on a really cold day, if you go stand by those windows, I mean, you can feel the cold coming through, right? There's very little insulation in our current windows, and those windows occupy a lot of wall space. So that really affects temperature fluctuation, the fact that those windows are essentially just the heat and the cold and the humidity is just passing through those. Yep. Yep. Very good. Other questions? Oh, very good. Oh, good. You saved us all from my tap dance. Good.
Does the current window have a new home?
The current window does not have a new home, other than a plan to have it a custom-made kind of crate and storage set up for the window. We are in dialogue with different folks who could potentially be interested in the window. Restoration, stained glass window museum, history museums, but the plan is, I mean, the worst case scenario for the current window is that it would simply be stored for a season with no home other than the storage, right? But we are actively in conversations concerning that. Yep. And let me just say, anybody who knows some of these details, feel free to chime in and say, yes, what Aaron said is in fact true, or not. That's the case. That's the case. Yes. Other questions, brothers and sisters? Yes, sir, Harry. We do not, I mean, the window is currently under design. So what we have is a conceptual design, which is not the design of the window, but is a design that has sufficient levels of complexity and design to it, which has enabled them to say, okay, we know the kind of window you want and the price that that window is going to cost. Does that make sense? So I'm hesitant to say, here's the conceptual design, because then people will say, oh, I don't like this, or I don't like this. And it'll say, well, it doesn't really matter because this isn't actually the design, right? But to say what we're talking about is a window of significant kind of ornate complexity. So it's not going to have 8 big pieces of glass, but lots of intricate work that will take into account, but it won't be, one of our principles is that the window won't have any images other than kind of color and shape.
Is the planning of that window
important issue with the windows on the wall? The windows on the wall will be clear, right? So there won't be any stained glass or color in those windows. So in one sense, there's not a lot of coordination that's necessary in terms of the design of the stained glass window and the, I do think that the window, the side windows will be not only more heat, cool, and humidity secure, but I think they're going to be just more beautiful. But they're not going to be ornate in that sense. They're going to be a standard kind of double-paned glass window that will be painted with white. They'll have a wood interior wood frame, as you can see that if you look at that, and that will be painted white to match the walls and the trim. The side windows will be in concept similar to the windows that are there. It'll be panes of glass, right? So those are not intricate design artistic windows. They're windows that I think have a kind of simple beauty to them, but they're kind of plain glass windows down the sides of the church. What the rose window is the window where there will be intricacy and artistry and color. Yep. Yes, sir. Tony. Did you ever already hear that? They will not be clear, but one of the panes will be kind of a pebbled glass. And actually, if you look at that little thing on the table, you can see that. And there will be a kind of UV factor in that. Yes, sir. So in one sense, it should make this bring more light into the sanctuary.
Yeah, if you were to take one of the panes out of the window that's in there now, it is actually a darker red than these chairs are. It's extremely, extremely red.
Yeah. We know this with great precision because 3 Messner boys over the last couple of years have broken one of those panes. Yeah. So we are responsible for some up-close personal look at those windows. Yeah. And there's not a little pressure on Soren to say, can you be the only Messner boy to make it through your high school years without breaking a sanctuary window? Yeah. Yes, sir. Craig. We can only hope, right? But the good news is the Messner boys are growing up, right? And so less likely to be in hurling projectiles of various kinds that could break those windows. But I will not say that those windows, like if you want to gather together a bunch of guys and fire lacrosse balls at them, I think that you can break them. I believe they're separate panes of glass.
They are not, well, they are, there are three large sections of glass that are broken up. They do not look like the fake divider that you see now, but they will have a wooden divider that's attached to them. But it will be, there will be three individual panes that will be fairly large, and then one of the half round on top.
Very good. Very good. Other questions? Let me say that as you continue to have questions about any of this, you can always ask, right? So that's just a general truth about life at Westminster, right? The pastoral staff desires to be accessible, right? And so we don't have to have a public Q&A for you to ask some questions, right? So feel free to shoot an email. Feel free to schedule a time to get a cup of coffee, right? To ask any questions you have about any of these matters or anything, right? Anything for that matter. So let me just reinforce, right, that we are not too busy for you. You are, by God's grace, what we are called to be busy with, right? So we are here for you. And it's our joy for that to be the case. Was it? I saw a point. Someone kind of. Lindley, did you have a secret question?
I was wondering about the heat and light.
Okay. So that was answered. Good. Good. Will heat and light come into the building if Messner boys break one of the windows? That's an important question. Yes, but none of them seem to break windows. Yeah. Yes, sir, Andy.
So, HVAC update.
The HVAC continues to work. It continues to function. Parts continue to break. We continue to replace those parts as that happens, and we continue to have a functioning HVAC that we believe will continue to be functional for a number of years. So we do not anticipate. Lord willing, I would like to retire as the senior pastor at Westminster, Lord willing. I'm very certain in that time frame we'll be getting a new HVAC. Right? But it is not an imminent need that we're going to like finish this project and immediately turn around and start talking HVAC. I think we've got a little bit of time. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Did I tell you guys the story about all the smoke coming in the vents? Yeah. So that was, but that ended up being a small part that costs $1,800 to replace. So we have an old system with lots of new componentry within it because we've been fixing it and taking care of it over time, right? So it's not an imminent danger. Yep. Other questions? All right. With that, I'm going to close us in prayer. And then as part of that closing, I'm just extending the invitation that we can keep talking. All right? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you for the gospel message of justification by faith, which we will consider in greater detail today in our worship. Lord, we pray that we would be a people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and that the gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus would so stir our hearts that we would want to worship together, we would want to live for Jesus in community, we would want to reach out to others, and that our physical facilities would simply facilitate a people who are on fire for God because of the gospel. We pray that our facilities would never become the end in themselves. We would never be a people whose identity is found in the fact that we have a building, but that we would, by God's grace and by your kindness, have a building that facilitates us gathering to be the people of God, to worship together, to serve together, to do outreach together. We pray, Lord, that you would unify us by your Spirit in all of these goings on, and that you would keep drawing us back to the centrality of the gospel itself. Lord, we commit our way to you. We pray that you would bless us and keep us as individuals and as a corporate church. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.